Howdy do, buckaroos. This is the Mac Observer Daily Observations Podcast for December 3rd, 2018. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today is Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Yes, good to be here. Thank you for having us.
I'm not sure who Brian brought with him. I brought Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
All right, buckle up, kids. Here we go. The first thing I wanted to talk to all of you about is Apple Music is expanding its reach. And we've got an announcement that you're going to be able to use Apple Music just like you can any other streaming service that is currently available on the Echo Base. So, or the Dot, I guess, Amazon's little assistant units that all have the A-Lady built into them. They will start running Apple Music as of, I believe, December 17th.
I'm pretty sure I'd rather puncture my own eardrums than listen to music from a Dot.
Oh, you know, that's true. But sometimes I do know I have a Dot, and I know one of the options that you have available for it is to plug it into like an actual speaker. And I've seen a few people now, or a few companies,
fair point,
I guess, that have like, here's a decent Bluetooth speaker and it's got a little dock in the top, so that, or in the side. So you just like hook the Dot to it.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
And then you get a little bit better sound system. And it would definitely be an upgrade from listening to music on my phone. So I'll give it that. Cause I have an iPhone 8. And the speaker is fine. It's not great. You know, don't go listening for any kind of detail in anything, but it's fine. You know, it gets the idea of the song across, I guess. So I'm looking forward to this because one of the things that I've said forever is we are team A-Lady at my house because I don't have a HomePod. And well,
team A-Lady,
you know, I planted the
team
box.
Wiretap. Go team wiretap.
I planted a HomePod box in the backyard and I watered it. And the HomePod tree never grew, so I don't have one.
Corporate surveillance. We really have to have it. Yay. All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Are you done gadget shaming me now, Brian? Because I don't think you are.
Probably not. But, yeah. But you know, not at least not on a holistic level.
So, Andrew, do you have more to tell us about this? While Brian sits over there and silently judges me.
Well, silently? I just think it's interesting.
Oh, Andrew's talking.
I do think it's interesting how Amazon and Apple are friends again. I mean, it's not just Apple Music on their Echo devices. It's also Amazon is selling Apple products from like official vendors now. So
yes.
I'm interested to see how, like, if they integrate even further.
Yeah, it's been an interesting sort of thawing, I think, of that relationship, because I think the first overt sign of that was when we actually did get the Prime Video app for Apple TV. And then Amazon started selling Apple TV again. They were, like, mm-hmm. allowing it to be sold on Amazon again, which was, there was a long dry spell there where that wasn't the case. And things seem to be getting friendlier all the time. And the thing in particular that strikes me about this is this is one of those things that I used to really like about Apple back in the day, you know, before Apple made anything besides computers, because there wasn't anything else. One of the things that you could do with a Mac that you couldn't do with a Windows machine was you could read stuff that was formatted for the other thing. And I remember being impressed with that because it was sort of because it was like Apple was aware they weren't the only game in town, and Microsoft never really had that. So you still can't take like an Apple formatted anything, and you know, like an Apple formatted flash drive, and plug it into a Windows laptop and expect to do anything with it except format it. And
without third party help.
Yes, without an exceptional amount of help, and even then, sometimes the tools aren't great. I've tried. And with an Apple computer, you could always do that to some extent. Maybe you could read the file, or you could at least copy them off, or, you know, whatever it was you needed to do, like on a really basic level. At least an Apple computer acknowledged that the thing exists and didn't just go, do you want to format this? And that's what this move feels like to me, is that Apple understands that maybe And this is me projecting. Maybe Apple understands that not everybody wants a HomePod, but lots of people want Apple Music. And if they already have some sort of speaker, then this is better than nothing.
I think that it could be a little shallower than that. So I agree with Andrew that the interesting thing here is that they're working seemingly more and more together. Mm-hmm. That is interesting because for a while, as you noted, Kelly, they just weren't. And it's hard to know from the outside who was driving that. Was Amazon driving that or was Apple driving that? And I suspect it was probably a little from column A and a little from column B.
Yes.
But now we have the storefront. We have more Apple products on Amazon. We've got this this Apple Music thing. I suspect that someone like you know, Tim brings the management team, the executive team around him. It's like, you know, guys and gals, we need to boost sales. Mm-hmm. And then someone goes, hey, do you remember that company that we just don't really do anything with? Yeah, they sell a lot of stuff. Maybe we should revisit our relationship with them. Mm-hmm. Or is this more of an issue of Amazon, you know, saying, yeah, no, you know, no one wants the Fire TV. No one wants our stupid phone or Fire tablets or, you know, LOL. So, you know, maybe we can be a little less precious and go ahead and work with Apple. And don't forget that Apple actually started some of this with their old demand that they've since rescinded of getting 30% off of anything that was sold through an app in the App Store. So,
yes,
you know, Amazon had to pull the ability to sell products directly from its apps. Now, that has long been corrected, but you know, it was Apple that really first fired the first salvo on their seeming battle. So, well, yeah, I would love to know who is driving this.
I would
is it
too.
Apple or is it Amazon?
Part of that is because there are other services, like you can get Spotify on an Echo unit, and I think Pandora on it. You can tell the A-Lady to play your Pandora stuff and you can like hook up your Pandora account. I know you can hook up your Spotify account, which is why forever I have said, because I have an Echo Base, because I like to call it Echo Base. Because I have an Echo Base, that if I was going to pay for one, I'd pay for Spotify because I could get that everywhere. Because I can have it on my phone, I can have it on my computer, and I can have it on the speaker in the kitchen, and then I can play music there. And I can't do that with Apple Music, but now I can. So Apple Music's getting a lot more appealing because I would have that option to play it in all of the places I would normally be playing whatever streaming music service that I have. So I have a free Spotify account and I play that, you know, pretty regularly, lots of places. But I think it's going to be interesting to see where this goes, because there are other streaming music options available on Echo units. And I wonder if maybe Apple is cool with it because this helps them compete with Spotify, who's already there. And one thing I like about this is, again, projection, hoping that Apple understands that the HomePod is not the answer for everybody, but maybe Apple Music is the answer for a lot more people. And they are taking the solution that I always wanted Nintendo to take, which is I'm not going to buy your handheld game system. I have a handheld game system, but it happens to also play music and take phone calls. And if you would let me pay you $20 for Donkey Kong, I would do it. But instead of letting me pay you a little bit of money, I'm not going to pay you any money because you're not going to make that stuff available on iOS. So I'm hoping that Apple is sort of seeing that light and realizing that there's a lot of people who maybe would pay $10 a month for something that they, if they could play it everywhere. And yeah, get more subscribers, so, huh? I think that getting more subscribers is in Apple's best interest, and one way to do that is to get people like me who don't have a HomePod but have solved Apple, the audio problem and could play it everywhere.
Apple's whole deal is not about selling services; it's about making the ecosystem work.
Right.
And it's about getting you into the ecosystem, keeping you into the ecosystem. I don't really think Apple cares about unit sales per se. I mean,
no, they care about me. And right now they are getting no dollars a month for me for streaming. Right. For Apple Music or for a HomePod. And if I realize how great Apple Music is, then maybe I will take another look at a HomePod and decide I need one. But this is a good hook to give more people the opportunity. I mean, there's an Android app for Apple Music. You can play it on your Android phone. So
this is true. And that was the first major expansion for Apple Music.
Right. And I would mark this as the second, considering how much stuff has the A-Lady built into it that would give you the capability to play Apple Music in so many places. So I'm curious to see where this goes.
Yeah, and it's also going to be interesting to see if it comes to Sonos.
Yes.
Yeah. So we will see on that. It's an interesting move. Again, Andrew brought up the point that Apple and Amazon are working increasingly close together. Mm-hmm. I want to know who's driving that. We don't know who's driving that.
And we may never, which is a bummer, because yeah. I'm also really curious how that's working out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope we have more to report on that front very soon, because I don't feel like it's bad for anybody if that relationship is better. So I would like very much for that to happen. Let's go ahead and talk about our sponsors just for a minute. Right now, I want to tell you all about OpsGenie. Incidents, planned and unplanned, are inevitable, and what it comes down to is how your company responds. So getting timely alerts is critical, and that's where OpsGenie by Atlassian comes in. OpsGenie empowers dev teams and ops teams to plan service disruptions and be able to control unplanned incidents, because they have the power to respond quickly and efficiently, and you can make sure the right people get notified, because they have lots of ways to send alerts based on integrations with things like New Relic and Jira and hundreds more. So if you go to opsgenie.com, you can sign up for a free company account and add up to 5 team members. Our other sponsor today is Jamf Now. And Jamf Now, as I keep telling you guys, as we go into tech support season, Jamf Now helps you set up, manage, and protect Apple devices on demand. They support macOS and iOS devices, so you can get everybody hooked up. You can monitor the version of iOS. You can refresh people's Wi-Fi settings if somebody goes in and deletes stuff on accident. Email settings, and lots more. There's a nice little web dashboard you log into and check out. 3 devices are supported for free forever. And additional devices are $2 a month. So if you head over to the Jamf website at jamf.com/TDO, you can sign up for a free account today. Now, our next topic is almost entertaining, I think. There's Andrew, you wrote this piece about a former Google guy. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Who figured out how to keep his phone from distracting him all the time. He has the answer. And what is the answer, Andrew?
So he did the full scorched earth nuclear option by deleting every single app from his phone.
So practically reset to new from box, more or less.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this guy is named Jake Knapp. He wrote a blog post on Medium. It looks like, from the article, he had a couple of images that did show apps on his phone, so maybe he just reinstalled apps most important to him, which, I mean, everyone has been talking about stuff like this lately, so it's mm-hmm. good. But
yeah.
My take on this was, like, just get a flip phone.
Yeah.
I mean, like, buying a $1,000 smartphone just to delete everything seems like it's defeating the purpose.
I probably have like a Motorola something in a drawer here, and I would be more than happy to trade him for his shiny new glorious phone for my flip phone. Yeah. If that's, you know, really his concern. Actually, it might be a candy bar phone, but in any case, I would be happy to trade him if that's all the functionality he needs out of the phone. So.
Okay. But hold on. There are services, essential services that are on a smartphone, on an iPhone, that are part of that out-of-the-box experience, including maps in particular. Mm-hmm. And that's not anything you're going to get on a flip phone. And the ability to get your to be able to do text messages in a way that is glorious and not sucky that you're not going to get on the flip phone. So, I mean, it's not like he's relegating his device to flip phone status. I mean, it's extreme. It's kind of,
you were headed for ridiculous. If you won't say it, I will. It's ridiculous.
Well, no, you know what's not ridiculous? What's not ridiculous is the idea of wanting to beat notification addiction.
Yeah.
That's not like, ridiculous.
No, I'm 100% for mindfulness of, like, what am I getting notified of all the time? Yes.
And if that's what it took for this fella to start tackling his own distraction addiction and his notification addiction, then, you know, I'm not going to do it, but I fully support him going this route as, yes, as an effort to try to, you know, find where that happy medium is. And if he's, as Andrew noted, if he's like slowly adding in individual apps that he's just got to have, that sure as heck makes it a lot easier to have your notifications be exactly and only what you need and want, as opposed to this onslaught.
So, Andrew, what do you do to try and conquer this? Or do you just drink from the fire hose?
I do drink a bit from the fire hose, but like the other thing I want to add, like Brian said, like I'm not trying to downplay this. Addiction is a serious thing.
Yes.
But to me, it just seems like deleting apps, you're focusing on the symptoms rather than the underlying problem. And I know it's easier said than done, but people should be focused on self-discipline and being able to just say no and put your phone down if you feel like you're becoming more anxious.
Or whether or not you can. I mean, that's not how addiction works.
Right. I know. Like, I know it's easier said than done.
Well, so one thing that I know that I do sometimes that's helpful is as simple as put my phone face down. Yeah. Because if I can't see the screen light up, if it's not catching my eye, then I don't worry so much about those notifications. And I try to make a conscious effort to do that when, or put it like in my purse instead of in my pocket. Like if I'm with people, if I'm out doing something with my friends or whatever, when I'm, you know, out and doing stuff and trying to be aware, like I try to make sure I don't have my phone out. And and I know, especially because notification systems on iOS continue to get refined and get better. That's one thing that I do is make it so that the screen can't get at me. Now, I wear an Apple Watch, but one of the things I did when I got my watch was it was asking me about all the notifications. Like, do you want everything to go to your arm? And I'm like, of course I don't. And then I started going, well, do I even want it on my lock screen? And started ratcheting all those down. So that's one thing that I do that well, helps me.
We know that reducing the amount of time that we have our faces buried in our smartphones, mm-hmm, was one of the guiding goals that Apple had in developing the Apple Watch in the first place.
Yes.
They at least they've said so. I suppose they could be lying, but I don't think so.
No.
And I have absolutely found that my Apple Watch reduces the amount of time that I spend, mm-hmm, looking at my smartphone.
Me too. Because also there's only so much that my watch can do. I think so. It's very easy to not go, oh, you know, while I'm here, I'll just check my email or finish reading this thing or, you know, whatever it is. Like on my watch, I just get the notification and all I can do is act on that notification in the end. Brian, do you have any tips? What else do you do besides Apple Watch to reduce your notification noise?
I turn stuff off. The second I realize that I'm annoyed by it, I turn it off.
Yeah.
With notifications. Like the second, like I pay attention to that. When I realize that I've looked at my phone and I'm annoyed by what I've seen, or like, you know, that sort of reaction, it's gone.
Yes.
And the same thing is true on my Apple Watch. I have only those notifications that I actually want, which is mostly iMessage. I triage everything and iMessage from that. And Apple News. I think those are the two biggest notifications that I get. And I'm sure that come the day, when I don't have reason to be obsessing over politics.
Yes.
Please come the day that I will probably end up turning off Apple News notifications on my watch at that point.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I do, aside from putting my phone face down and ratcheting notifications, is I have my app updates on manual. They don't update automatically. And part of the reason I do that is because every once in a while, when I go in there and go to do my, I have a calendar reminder that sets up, so I do update my apps regularly. But what I do is when I look at it, and if I look at the app and I'm like, what is that? Do I use that? Like, every once in a while, I'm like, what app is that? Well, I guess I'm going to go delete it now. And then it saves me the update as well. So that also keeps me aware of what's installed, which I think sometimes is where I end up getting notifications. And every so often, I will get a notification like, what even is telling me this?
Yeah,
what did I install that's giving me this thing?
My default for do you want to get notifications is no.
No.
I start with no.
Me too.
I don't start with yes and then look for a reason to turn it off later. I start with no. And, you know, and quite frankly, we just don't need most. Well, OK, in my opinion, I don't need most notifications.
Yeah.
Okay, your mileage may vary.
Yeah, I don't need Candy Crush to tell me when my lives are full again. I don't.
Really? Do you not? Are you sure about that?
I have managed to go on to live a full and productive life without.
That just rattled off your tongue like you know, like it was practice. It says that maybe you do.
No, actually, I don't even have Candy Crush installed. I just know it's one thing that a lot of people play.
I see.
So, and I did at one point have it on my phone, and one thing I remember from it is that it would notify you if you, because I was like, yeah, sure. Well, I don't know what you want to notify me of, but okay. And I remember it telling me like, your lives are full. Come back and play more. And I'm like, no, this will, there be dragons. I'm not going to do that. So I don't. But I do. But I'm like you, Brian, I tend to be at no. There have been very few instances where I have installed an app and said, yes, notify me about whatever it is. Generally I leave it at no, and I have seen lots of people who post screenshots of notifications that they get from different applications that sort of make me glad I don't have notifications on for everything, because not everybody is sort of using them in a useful way. So yeah. That's a thing that I try to do.
I think a good step for a lot of people would be set aside a couple of hours, 1 or 2 hours every day, where you just put your phone in the drawer and do something else, like read a book or go for a walk. Even if you're just sitting down staring at the wall.
Wait, hold on.
Giving your brain a break.
Go for a walk. Oh, that's where you leave the house.
Yes.
Right? I've heard about this. Yeah. I've heard about this. This is like, it's like there are things other than your walls around you.
Big blue room. It's when you head out into really the big blue cool. room. Yes.
Big blue room, yes. I work out of my house, you know.
We all do.
Yeah.
So, yes, same thing. So one other thing, and one thing I can tell you, footnote to all of this, is that there is a feature of iOS called face down detection. So when you put your phone face down, like, it's not going to light up for notifications. That's like the point of it. Like, they will sit there and it will record them. And then when you pick your phone up later, those notifications will be waiting for you, but it's not actually doing anything with them. And it's unless you have something in particular that's set to overrule that in some way, you can do that. Or, you know, like Andrew, you're talking about putting in a drawer, just straight up do not disturb in another room means it won't go off. You know, leave it on the nightstand charger while you go do stuff in the rest of the house, and then come back and pick it up later or something. And And I'm with you on that. I actually do tend to put my phone face down or put it in the other room when I like need a little bit of time to just make sure I get something done.
Yeah.
Those are actually, I find that a lot handier than I thought I would, because it's one of those things where I don't realize how much time I was spending on my phone until I spent it. So that's part of one thing that I've sort of liked about the screen time stuff that's part of iOS 12 is when I get that report, seeing how much time I spent doing each of the things. Because to me, it's illuminating. Yeah. And like you can't change anything until you have like a baseline awareness of what that is. So I find that to be.
Yeah, I think that's pretty useful.
Yeah, I find that useful. Brian, do you use screen time?
I get a notification that I don't pay any attention to. She's probably don't turn those
That tells me everything right there.
Yeah, so. I have it turned on for both my iPad and my iPhone. I spend more time on my iPad than I spend on my iPhone in the first place.
Oh yeah, I think right, I probably do too.
There's a Curse of Oak Island commercial on my TV right now, so I need to go watch that.
Brian has to go. Yeah. Okay, then Brian, thanks for joining us today.
Indeed, thanks for having us. It's good to be here.
And Andrew, thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I will talk to all of you tomorrow. Until then, be excellent to each other.